For us, we're going to continue that theme. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. You know, the Bible talks about God giving us new things. And this morning, that is the title of my message, New Things, 19. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Title of the sermon is New Things. But before we read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Honey Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for last year, Lord. Father, we thank you for victories. We thank you for the comfort that you gave us when things didn't go right. But Lord, we look forward to this new year, Lord, to want to serve you with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that your word will speak to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will indwell in us and that we would be changed today. I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, that you just help us to leave here different. Lord, be with this message this morning. Let his truth speak to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 18 and 19 of Isaiah chapter 43, God is instructing Isaiah to do this. Remember ye not the former things. He's instructing the entire nation of Israel. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a what?
New thing.
Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make way in the wilderness, in rivers, in the desert. God knows that the nation of Israel is straying away. God knows that they are going to be in captivity with the Babylonians. God knows that they have some major problems. And God doesn't want that for them. He only thinks of good things for them. He only thinks of good things for us. But he says, I want to make a new thing. I want to take you out of where you are now and put you in a better place. This morning, we want God to put us in a better place. We want 2025 to be a better place for us. He wants to bring forth something new. You know, we need to understand that God knows where we've been. God knows our past. He knows our failures. He knows our successes. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 and 4, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, and my uprise. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up. He knows where you go. He says, thou understandest my thought before all. He knows what you're thinking. Even right now. Thou compassest me. Thou compassest my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He sees everything that we do during the day. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows where you are right now. He knows where you've been. But he says, don't remember those things. Behold, I bring forth a new thing. God knows our past. God can, and he wants to deliver from those things that are hindering us. We saw in the kids' corner that my thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Go up a couple of verses, Isaiah 43, verses 11 through 13. And he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. We go often in every direction trying to find a way out of something. Just to come back to the realization that God is the way. And sometimes we struggle with the things in our past. We try to fix them ourselves. We talked about this yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast that there's things that we can't do that only God can do. It says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who shall let it? And who shall let it? Who shall stop it? We need to understand that God knows our past. He knows what we went through last year. But this is a new year. God knows that He can and He wants to deliver. And we need to understand that God is here right now. God's wherever you are. You can't get away from Him. He's everywhere. What God wants is He wants new things in our lives. In the previous chapter of Isaiah, chapter 40, in Isaiah 42, God is talking in advance of what He's going to do. He says, verse 9, He says, behold, the former things are come to pass. He says, I know where you are right now. You know where you are right now. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you them. Everything from God is good news. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Sing unto the Lord a what? A new song. You know what we need to do in our lives? Some of us need to change our tune. Some of us need to change the way we think. Some of us need to change our direction. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that there in the isles and the inhabitants thereof, God just doesn't want it in one spot here in this building. He wants it everywhere. He wants all of us to sing a new song. So this is what God wants for us. He knows where we are. He can and wants to deliver. And He wants new things in our lives. You know, some people are just content where they are. We can never be content in our faith. Our faith should always be growing. We should never be content in sin. When we know that there's something wrong, we should want to get out of that. We should never be content in our level of knowledge of God. We need to know more of Him. So this morning I want to look at these two verses here. I want to talk about four things that we need to do. First of all, in verse 18, the Lord is instructing us to remember not the former things. Basically, He's saying, forget the past. Forget the past. You know why? Because the past weighs us down. Good and bad. You know, if you want to lose in a race, you carry extra weight. You know, it doesn't matter if it's NASCAR or a foot race. If you have extra weight, you're going to lose because the other person's not encumbered. Your competitors are not encumbered. And things hinder us. He says, remember ye not the former things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, there's two ways of looking at this. We need to forget the bad stuff in our life. That will definitely weigh us down. That will keep us from God. But the other thing is, we don't need to rest on what we've done in the past that's been good. We need to work forward. We need to go forward. Because you know what the enemy of best is? Good enough. Folks, in 2025, we can't live by the words good enough. is what God has for a standard. Our way of thinking can weigh us down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," talking about chapter 11, "let us lay aside" what? "Every weight." Anything that keeps you from running the race, we need to lay it aside. And it just needs to be God. "I am the Lord, and beside me there is no" what? "Savior." There's no Savior. "And the sin which is so easily beset." See what it talks about here? It says every way and the sin. That means that there's other things that hold us back. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, Philippians 3:13 says that we're supposed to reaching forth to those things before. Let's look at an illustration. Why is your windshield so big and your rearview mirror so small? Because if you look in your rearview mirror, you try to drive that way, you're going to crash. Now, I know in San Antonio, you need to watch what's coming.
And coming.
Because there's someone trying to ram you from the back. But in reality, what we need to do is we need to look forward. Because there's so much more forward than there is in the past. And oh, the other illustration is, once you pass something, what happens in the rearview mirror? It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's what God wants us to do. We need to realize the grace of God and what He's gotten us from. Paul did that. He realized what God had taken him from, and he used that as a testimony. But to sit and dwell on it and constantly look in the rearview mirror about what's happened in the past, you're not going to go forward. And if you're going forward, you're going to run off the road, and you're going to crash. You've got to lay aside every weight because it hinders us from winning. Going forward is a prompting from God. And we need to understand that there's a prompting from God to move forward. He says, "Give me your burden. Give me your past. Help me. I will help you to forget and to move on." In Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Get relief from the burden. Get relief from the attitude of good enough. In Matthew chapter 11, 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are" what? "Heavy laden, and I will give you" what? "Rest." I will relieve you from that burden. I will strip you of all that excess weight, and you can rest in me. We talked yesterday, if anyone wants to follow Christ, he's going to have to deny himself and take up the cross and follow Him. What is denying ourselves? Is to deny our past. Is denying all those weight things that we have that keeps us from going back. It's holding on to stuff that we need to forget. We need to forget the former thing. Secondly, we need to embrace the new thing. God declares that the new thing will spring forth. He says, "Behold, I will do" a what? "A new thing." I will do something. If you ask God, He's going to do something in your life. He knows ahead of time what He's going to do. He knew before He even created the earth and the stars and the Son and all creation. He knew that he was going to have to send his Son to the cross. He knows what he's going to do. I refer us back to Isaiah 42, verse 9. He says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass." He says, you've been brought to this point because of the stuff that you've been doing. In this case, it was captivity for the Israelites. "And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." God has the solution before you even know that you have a problem. He just wants us to find Him. So God declares that the new thing will spring forth. He says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And He sees it before you see it. In Isaiah 45, verse 3, He says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." Why? "That thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." See, there's all sorts of illustrations. Christ told all sorts of parables about that we need to seek out the treasure of God. We don't see them yet. We know that they're there. And God wants us to tap into those things. Here's a hope. Here's the point. There's all sorts of new things that God wants to do in our life. But we want them to happen. And when we start walking by faith, we'll actually see them occur because God has made the way. God has made the way. God declares that this new thing will spring forth because He knows what He's going to do. He sees it before you see it. And God creates the new thing, and the past is gone. I'll give you a couple of verses for an example. Talk about creation. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, it says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the one. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." When God does a new thing in your life, and He wants you to forget that past because you're on a new path. He has set your foot upon a rock and established your goings. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, or actually a new creation." He's recreated us. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. What three things does God want in our lives in 2025? Be saved. He wants to get rid of that past and make me new. Be set apart and be a servant. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Matthew chapter 6, Christ talks about, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these what? Things be added unto you." Maybe you want some new stuff in 2025. Put God first and let Him work for those things. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And you know something? When you're at peace, there's not a thought and a care in the world about what happened to you before. So God wants us to forget the former things. Forget what we've done that we thought was good enough. Forget that what we have done that we know wasn't good at all. He wants us to make them go smaller in our rearview mirror as we go forward. He knows what He wants to do in your life. I Suppose that he also knows that you know what he wants to do in your life. We all sit there saying, I need to do this. Let him do it. Let him do it. So we need to embrace the new thing. God declares that the new thing will spring forth. You know, in this wacky weather here, plants and everything are going to think that it's springtime again. Mm-hmm. And hopefully all the dirt that's in my yard that causes big dust cloud when I mow will have grass in it. Right now I don't see it. But I know it's coming. You know spring is coming. You know a new thing will spring forth. You know that if you just trust God, it will come. It will come. Embrace the new thing. We need to embrace the new thing through spiritual renewal. The passage that we used yesterday in this prayer breakfast was Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17. But in verse 10 it says, this created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. You can't create in you a clean heart. You can't create in you a right spirit. God has to do it. He has to do the new thing. He will declare. He will do all those things. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You know, Jeremiah had an illustration of God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch him make a vessel. And the first thing was that it was marred. The first vessel was marred, so the potter took it and remolded it. God wants to recreate us. He wants to create a new thing in our life. He wants to make us new. Later on, in Romans it says, can the pot tell the potter what to do? No. But you know, that's what we kind of do, don't we? You know, if you're trying to tell God what to do, you're not embracing what God wants to do. It's all about you and us. So we need to embrace the new thing that God declares that the new thing will spring forth. God creates through His power the new thing, and the past is gone. And we need to do it through spiritual renewal. Several years ago, we took a vacation to British Columbia and Washington State. And we wanted to get to a mountaintop. And so one morning we got up and we started driving up this road. And you may not be able to be seen here from the lighting, but the issue is that we started driving up this road. We started down, and in Washington State, around Puget Sound, it's always foggy. And so there was question among those in the car, is it going to be foggy when we go up the top? No, I don't believe so. And so we kept on going up and going up and going up, just following the road. And then we broke out of the fog. And what a spectacular view. There was even snow. It was great. We made snowballs. It was great. But sometimes we are in a foggy path. And God wants us just to keep on going because there's something better when you come out of the fog. And what we need to do is we need to perceive the new thing. In verse 19, he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not what? Know it. Know it. The issue is, just like going up that foggy road or going up a foggy path to the summit, you may not see the summit, but the summit's there. And eventually you'll get to a point where you'll break out of it and you will see everything clearly. We need to see beyond our circumstances by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, in the translation, they put this in parentheses. And I think a lot of us live in parentheses. We know what is happening, but we don't take it out of the parentheses and actually apply it in our lives. So we need to see beyond our circumstances by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to seek by discernment in prayer. This week, or this last week, we had the privilege of going up to Killeen and being with our daughter and our new grandson. Well, as always, there's always things for granddad to do. And there was this vent fan in the bathroom that he turned it on. And the bearing gone bad in it. And I said, okay, we'll fix it. I took it out and cleaned it. And it got better. And I said, what this thing needs is WD-40. You know, it's either masking tape or WD-40, right? Okay, that'll cure the entire room. So, I went down to HEB. And got some other items. And I said, HEB surely has WD-40. So I walked to where I think it is. I walked to this aisle, and I don't see anything. And I was about ready to just walk out of the store without the WD-40. You know something? We think about God that way. We want God to do something in our life, but when we go and we look where we think He ought to, we get discouraged and we leave. It's not the way I think it ought to happen. So I sat in line with the other item, and I said, you know what? I went and asked some guy. And so there's a guy there, and I said, hey, where is your WD-40? Do you have WD-40? Well, we should have it. And I said, well, you don't know? And so he gets on his phone, and he starts looking it up and everything else. And says, yeah, we have it. But I don't know what this means. He didn't know the aisle. And sometimes we go and we ask people for things and they say, yeah, I know it works, but I don't know where it is. And I go, okay, fine. So I start my search and there's a manager. And I said, where's your WD-40? He says, back there by the milk. I go, what? Yeah, he says, there's a little corner back there. It's got all the stuff on it. It's back there by the milk. Okay, and I go back by the milk. Sure enough, there it is. Sometimes we find things where we don't think they're going to be. People think they think that it's there, but they can't tell you where it is. Sometimes you just give up, say, I can't find it easy enough. And I just leave. Oh, we need discernment and prayer to perceive the new things. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. You have not because you ask God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8 talks about wisdom. It says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost what? Embrace thee. Not what you think. It's what God says. It's not where you think it's going to be. It's where God puts it. And you need to go where it is. No matter how weird it sounds. We need to seek by discernment of prayer. But a lot of us just kind of give up. And we walk out without what we need. So, we need to forget the past. We need to embrace the new thing. We need to perceive the new thing. And then lastly, we need to trust God for the way forward. God is making a way. You may not see it, but He's making a way. He says, I will make a way in the wilderness. Boy, this world is a wilderness today, isn't it? There are mind traps everywhere. You need to look where you're going or you will crash. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, and thou shalt hearken, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them." Christ says, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We need to understand, even though we don't see it, God is making a way. God's making a way for you right now. He's made a way for you right now. He declares the way for you right now. And he says, "Hey, just come unto me. Just come unto me." God can provide in your desert. He says, "I'll make rivers in the desert." He says, "I will open the rivers in the high places," Isaiah chapter 41, verse 18. You know, these had these atmospheric rivers in California now. And all those lakes were drying up. And now you see on the internet, this is what it was, and this is what it is now. And now everything is a full pool, and everything looks great. You know who brought the rain? God did. Man had nothing to do with it. God can make California green again. He can fix our lives too. Is I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Isaiah 44, verse 3, he says, "And for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." You know, in 2025, we need to trust God going forward. But we need to be looking for it. We need to perceive it. And when we find it, we need to embrace it. And all those things will come unto us, and we'll forget the past, and we'll see God working. Stop living in the past. Let God do something new in your life today. I close with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. "But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We need to love him. We need to have a relationship. We need to embrace it. We need to walk in his light and follow him this year. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation. God, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.